Good morning. It's raining and it's cold, but we're inside where it's warm, and I hope you are too. Welcome to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. We're at KCNR 1460, home of Shasta Reading and Free Fire Media. If you want to give us a call, the number is 605-4567, or to chat or stream live, kcnr1460.com. And this show is brought to you by our sponsors, Great Patriots, North State Consultants, Bill Miller Auto Transport, and Pearson Excavating. And if you want to find out any more about those folks, go to our website at readingteaparty.com and you can get the skinny on them. And before we go any further...
That was good.
Thank you.
Got all the names out.
Yeah, and I did a twist over my tongue. Hey, just want to give a quick shout-out to my husband, Dan, who's usually here with us. But because I have massive girly stuff to do after the show today, he's not here. But it's his birthday, and we're not spending it together. So happy birthday, Dan.
That would be a big tea that we have to do, not, you know...
Yeah,
we're not playing Barbies or anything.
No, we're not. No, we've got important girl stuff to do. So happy birthday.
Actually, men have to go to the tea, apparently.
Really?
But having not been to the tea, I wouldn't know that, other than I saw it in an email.
Oh.
Yes, so there are men. So we'll find out what they do at a tea. Poor guys.
Well, maybe they escort us to our seat.
I have no idea, but I hear we have a gigantic centerpiece that
we do.
Denise has prepared.
Yes. I'm pretty sure it's just about to reach the ceiling.
So all you ladies out there that identify with We the People, we will be the smoking hot centerpiece today at the Republican Women's Tea something like that.
Yes.
And it is all that and then some.
Absolutely.
So we'll take photos and post them on the website.
Should be
once
fun.
We figure out how this thing works. rookies. So, okay. So let's, before we get too carried away here, let's put our two bits in for Mr. Miller, our stalwart advertiser.
Yeah.
Bill
Great
Miller
guy.
Hauls anything with wheels. He hauls them all over the country. He will take... classic cars you bought somewhere else and want to have shipped. Maybe you're moving. You want to have your car sent ahead of you.
He does a lot of military vehicles, too.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I would imagine anything you want to send that's big like that, Bill Miller can figure it out. And Dan Pearson, he does excavating. So if you're building a house or you're doing something like that, need somebody. Oh, yeah, a road.
I think even, like, if you wanted to put in a pool... any kind of excavating. Yeah.
So call Dan. And then North State Consultants, they help you keep all your money because they are the tax people.
And the difference between those folks and others is that they know tax law.
Yeah. And
they're not just accounting.
And the words, you better not take that deduction or it'll throw up a red flag, never leave their lips, which is so great.
Yeah.
So you don't have to deal with any of that. And if you're curious, if they can save you some money, take in the last couple of years of returns, then surprise.
Yeah. Amazing.
I've told so many people that, and every single time they go, okay, I'm getting a lot of money back. My other guy kind of screwed it up. Or lady, actually. Could be anybody. So today we're talking about immigration again, because last week we had some brutal interference, and we kind of blamed it on those guys' phone. But as it turned out, it was kind of something going on with the phone lines. So we thought probably better to do this again and let the information get out there. And the other thing, too, is all you people out there that are listening, I know you're all waiting till 2 minutes of 9 to call in, but see, when you call at 2 minutes of 9, we can't take your questions.
Yeah.
There just isn't time. So you need to call now. Now-ish would be good. Those guys are going to take up one phone line. So when someone else calls, the line might be busy for a little bit. Just understand we have two lines coming in, and that's it. So just be patient. You can also chat with us online at kcnr1460.com. You just go to the live chat, and you could fire your questions through that way. That'd be cool. You can call in 530-605-4567, and we will do all things immigration. Chandler's giving me the high sign, so we have to take a little commercial break here and hear from some of our folks out there who are advertisers. We'll be right back with you. You are listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Reading, the home of Free Fire Media.
What?
Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party, KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. Don't forget, if you want to give a call, 605-4567, call early with your questions, or to chat and stream live at KCNR1460.com. And I think we have the guys on the phone.
We do, but first we need Chandler to tell us about their program this evening. Tell us all
hey,
about
Chandler.
It. Give us
some tonight,
scoop.
Tonight on Sovereign Minds at 8 p.m., we're doing a show on the education system. We have a teacher calling in and also a mother who feels that the schools and teachers are trying to dictate too much what they do with their kid. She actually had...
No way.
Yep. She actually had CPS called on her for not giving her five-year-old son a pill called Abilify.
Which is for like...
It's like an antipsychotic.
Nice.
Which some of the side effects are death, stroke, heart attack.
Death is quite a side effect.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
a big side effect.
For a five-year-old.
Yeah.
And she had... CPS actually came through her house and did an inspection.
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
Actually, I'm 49. Death is still a big side effect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big side effect. And so... I guess when you're the parent, you're not really the parent.
Yeah, and I want to tell you more, but I want you to hear it from her own mouth tonight at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Tonight, 8 o'clock, Sovereign Minds.
8 p.m. Yes.
Yeah, 1460.
Very awesome. Same channel. All right. So now that we're going to learn about that, let's get to Lorenzo and Alex there, and get into immigration.
Good morning.
And just so we don't forget to announce it as well, these guys are also going to be at the Reading Tea Party meeting tomorrow night, Monday night, at 6 p.m. at Bonneview Baptist Church there at South Bonneview Road. So you can meet these guys in person, ask them some more questions, and I'm sure they'll have even more to tell you tomorrow night. Hi, fellas.
Good morning, Erin.
Good morning.
Listen to all of us being on the phone, and we can all hear each other this week.
Nice. The way it was meant to be.
All right, so fire away. You lead the way, we'll follow.
Well, as you know, we discussed this last week, but there were some technical problems, and I'm not really sure how much got out. So we kind of want to recover a lot of the same ground, tell people what we're about, why we're motivated to take some actions on our own. We're just a couple of local yokels, but we've been watching this situation for many, many years and have seen things deteriorate in this country. I do feel that the American people are waking up and we're headed to some sort of resolution, whether that would be in a year or two or 5 years, I don't know, but frankly, we want to push things along. That's really the whole idea here.
And your goal is really to help people get comfortable with the dialogue and how to address this and what kind of makes sense. And there was something that I read, it was after our program last week, actually, and I did not know this, that apparently our immigration policy from 1770 to 1970 was to allow 250,000 legal immigrants per year. We had a number. After the 70s, it increased from 250,000 people a year to 425,000. In the 80s, it went up to 635. And since 1990, we have had 1 million legal immigrants coming in per year. And that's legal immigrants, which is not the problem. But that's all. I mean, that's also a lot of people every year, a million people.
Yes, it is. We've actually, over the last 20 years, we've probably taken in more people, legal and illegal, than during the so-called period of great immigration in the early 20th century. And this is at a time when we know all about the problems of overpopulation and its effect on the environment. All of this is being done, I guess, for political and economic reasons, but it's not in the interest of the country. But one of the big problems is that there are a lot of people out there pushing for amnesties and the DREAM Act and open borders who have their own interests at heart and not the country. And we, the people, have let them get away with that for a long time because of the way we have been indoctrinated to react to this whole subject. It's just become too emotional. We always have the Emma Lazarus poem on the Statue of Liberty thrown in our faces. We're told that we're all immigrants, that they all just want a better life, etc., as if these things made what's happening acceptable, and they do not. And it's time for us to be less emotional and a lot tougher, and that's what we're all about.
Exactly. And, you know, I did a little experiment this last week, and because I, you know, when you and I had first spoken about this, and I told you that last week, that it makes me a little bit itchy to say, well, you know, everybody just who's here illegally needs to go home. I know that. I just know that when you say it out loud, you get, you know, you just get looked at like you're just a hater. And the thing is, so many of these people coming into this country illegally, they're not here for a better life. That used to be the deal. I used to teach English as a second language, so I was always a big defender of people who have come here from other places. I found them to be, you know, really enthusiastic and very interested in the country. They were here for a reason, and I loved working with them. But as time has gone on, I realized that's not necessarily the bulk of people who are coming here. Got them from Yemen and everywhere else.
Lorenzo and I are haters. We hate what's happening to this country. That's what we hate.
Okay, I guess I'm a hater too then.
Right. Yeah, it's we have nothing against immigration, although in this day and age with our population, we really need to be looking at the numbers of legal immigrants we take in. The country has done moratoriums before. A lot of people don't know that. And our focus, of course, is going to be on illegal immigration because that is the total outrage. There's nothing good about it. It's all bad. There are no benefits we get from illegals that we can't get from legal immigration, and without all the negative. There's not a single reason that illegal immigration should be tolerated, and no American should ever feel guilty about standing up and saying, enough, this has got to end, and that means illegals are going home. There's nothing to apologize for. Taking care of this country is a good thing. And when you take in more legal immigrants than the rest of the world, the industrialized world combined, you have nothing to apologize for. So anybody who says, well, if you're against illegal immigrants, you're anti-immigrant, they need a reality check, and it's up to us now to give them that reality check in no uncertain terms.
And so the plan that you guys have talked about, or the idea that you've talked about, is putting a window on it, like a six-month window or something. Tell people about that part, because I thought, actually, that made a lot of sense.
Well, the... this is only going to be resolved when all the illegals are sent home. And just securing the border and stopping the flow and this and that, that's fine, but it's a lot of nonsense if it's not backed up with full repatriation. Now, a lot of what you hear from people is that, well, we'll have to round them up. We can't do that, and that's not America, or it would cost $100 billion. That, too, is all nonsense. If this country were to formally declare that illegal immigration is no longer acceptable and will no longer be tolerated, and that includes all those in the country illegally now, and they must leave the country by a set deadline, say 6 months, it could be a year, but they must leave the way they came at their own expense. And if they don't leave, and if they're caught here after that, the penalties will be severe. Now, a lot of illegals are understanding that the tide is already beginning to turn against them. They know that their future here is in doubt. There are people fighting to keep the borders open and fighting for amnesty, but I truly believe that the tide is turning in this country, and that's not going to happen. Now, we have to make sure that amnesty doesn't happen, and we have to make sure that the problem is solved by sending everybody home. So setting the deadline, demanding that they leave, letting them know very clearly what the penalties are going to be if they don't leave, and at the same time, setting up recruitment centers in Mexico for a genuine guest worker program of temporary workers, and telling people here in the country illegally now that the sooner you leave and go home and get in line to apply for that program and get vetted, the better chance you have of coming back. I believe a lot of them will leave. And I would make that program for Mexicans only, for men only, for obvious reasons, and it would be for agricultural work only. All other jobs would be reserved for Americans and legal residents, legal immigrants. So it is time for the country to say, the party's over. You're going home, and that's the way it's going to be. We have the right to do this. We haven't done it. We've let it get out of control. People have adapted to it. A lot of companies are making money. because they figured this is the way it was always going to be. But in the back of their minds, they must have known that someday the day of reckoning would come and that they were going to have to start shedding their illegal labor and start hiring Americans. You know how the politicians like to run around saying, excuse me, jobs, jobs, jobs. Well, they could create 8 million jobs for Americans overnight just by making E-Verify mandatory and forcing all Social Security numbers to be vetted. But the more we organize, the more we push, the more we squawk, the higher we set our sights, the greater our demands, like repatriation, the sooner we're going to reach our goal of actually salvaging this country. So that's what it's all about.
Well, you know, Alex, we had talked last week about the fact that so many people view us as mean-spirited when we don't want to have open borders and just let the masses come in without any type of legal course. And the fact of the matter is that aren't we pretty much the only country on the planet, or one of the very few, that actually allows anyone to come?
Well, the people who call us mean-spirited, of course, have it backwards. What they advocate for this country is mean-spirited. Mean-spirited is what's happening to this country. It's mean-spirited to us. But even a lot of our politicians have been indoctrinated by this nonsense. A lot of the people that call us mean-spirited probably believe it. Well, this is America, the land of the American dream. You have to let us all in, or you're mean-spirited. And these illogical appeals and emotional appeals and the attempt to use guilt to control Americans have been very, very successful for a long time. And that's one of the main reasons we're in this mess. So I just throw all of that back at them. They are being mean-spirited to this country. Those who come in illegally are not the victims. They are the perpetrators. America is the victim. The allies of the illegal immigrants are the perpetrators. America is the victim, and the American people, as generous as they are, I recently had a letter published where I pointed out that we have sent out more foreign aid than any nation in history. We have fought more wars to liberate more people than any nation in history. We have accepted more immigrants than any nation in history. And we have exported more jobs than any nation in history. Nobody can call us mean-spirited, except people that really just don't like us and want only what they want. All Americans have to understand that now. It's becoming very clear. The anger is rising, in large part because of the state of the economy and all the people that are out of jobs and our budget problems. And we have seen the ridiculous and outrageous demands of people who have no business demanding anything. And more Americans are beginning to understand that, hey, we've been the suckers. You know, we're the victims. It's time for us to push back. And that's really what we want to encourage. So Americans are not mean-spirited by saying, follow our rules, my way or the highway. We're just being good Americans.
Hey, Alex, talk to me about E-Verify. That came up in a conversation the other day, and we all had to kind of agree that nobody really knew how it worked. We know it's not mandatory, but what this person was telling me is that if an employer tries to verify a Social Security number or immigration status without using E-Verify, I guess they're not allowed to or something, but E-Verify does do that. Is it a program you subscribe to, or is there a cost involved?
How does it work?
I'm
not sure about that. I don't have that detail. But the problem here is that because E-Verify is not mandatory, many, many employers don't bother using it. It's not mandatory. I mean, Americans, employers who only want to hire legal residents, they're the only ones who would follow the rule. But all those who want to cheat wouldn't bother.
Right. And, but is there a reason, beyond the obvious, is E-Verify free to use, for instance?
I'm sorry, repeat that last part.
Is E-Verify a no-cost thing, or is it?
I believe it is no cost. It's just a matter of contacting the federal government and seeing who owns this, who this Social Security number belongs to.
Okay.
Any employer who wants to check out an employee can do this. And I know that when I worked in Los Angeles, I had to sign I-9 forms and be checked out when I got work. I had to prove I was a citizen or in the country legally. among the employers who did that, who actually followed the rules. But a lot of employers don't, and they're not being forced to. And they do have a lot of politicians in their pockets. Many industries, as you know, have umbrella organizations and lobbyists and big budgets. It's all designed to keep things flowing for their benefit and for their profit. I talked once to the head of one of the major growers associations in California, and I questioned his patriotism, and he got a little huffy. And he said, well, I'm a very patriotic American. And I said, if you're putting your desire for profits ahead of your concern about the destiny of your nation, you have a patriotism problem, my friend. And he didn't like that too much, but I told him straight out, it can't be just about money. The growers' need for labor can be addressed by that genuine guest worker program that I've outlined. And we do have some similar programs that do provide legal temporary labor, but they're not enough, they're not widespread. I believe it simply should be made clear that no illegal immigrants will be tolerated in this country. A good guest worker program would mean better pay for the temporary guest workers. They would have better conditions, access to health care. We could set it up so that it's so positive that people would be lining up at the recruitment centers in Mexico to become part of this. We have people who say, well, if we don't take any illegals, who will do this job and that job? But I'm sorry, Americans will do most jobs. They always have, and they still do those jobs in parts of the country that are not overrun by illegals. As far as the harvesting and picking jobs, a guest worker program would deal with that. And all the growers must be made to understand that it's not about them anymore, and they have to use legal labor. And if it costs a little bit more, or labor is only part of the cost of your food, they can extrapolate that out, pass it on to the public, and I will happily pay more for my lettuce, knowing that legal workers are getting decent pay and treatment.
Well, and you know, Alex, if you think about the cost of illegal immigration on this country in terms of crime and benefits and everything else, I think that we'd certainly come out ahead on that.
Oh, yes. The country is being ravaged. You've got thousands of Americans who have been killed by murder or by accident, by people who are not even supposed to be here. We have heavier casualties here in America than we do in our two battlefields. And these are innocent civilians. So the government has a great deal of American blood on its hands for failing to keep these people out. The Federation of Americans for Immigration Reform has estimated that it costs the country $113 billion a year for illegal immigration. And don't forget, a lot of the jobs they hold are being held either off the books, and payroll taxes are not being paid, or they're being worked at lower wages than Americans would receive. And that costs this country an enormous amount of tax revenue. It costs the municipalities tax revenue and lost payroll taxes. There is nothing you can think of, absolutely nothing, that justifies illegal immigration. It's not immigration. It is illegal immigration, or as I call it, trespassing. And it must come to an end, or we are going to lose our sovereignty. And that is why we chose the name sovereign-t.com. We are losing our sovereignty, and I think that's intentional, but I think the American people can salvage the situation. And I blab long enough. I'd sure like to get Lorenzo in on this.
That's cool. You know what? We're going to take a little two-minute commercial, and the phone's ringing, so that's a good thing. I want you guys to think about, I need a comment from you on this thing with Utah. I think it was from a broadcast on Friday. I just watched on my DVR last night. And I guess in Utah they're proposing that they basically institute a guest worker program for all the people that are there illegally if they'll just come forward and kind of sign up for it. So because the federal government isn't making a decision and because these things aren't being handled the way they're supposed to, everybody's having to come up with something. The Arizona thing is costing that state a fortune and creating all sorts of problems. So these guys are trying to find something that's not quite as offensive but does take care of the issue. So when we come back, give us your thoughts on that, and we'll be back in like 2 minutes. You are listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Chester Redding, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back. It's We the People, brought to you by the Redding Tea Party. Oh, that's one of my favorite songs. We're at KCNR, Chester Redding. If you want to give a call at 605-4567 to chat or for live streaming, go to KCNR1460.com. So Alex and Lorenzo are going to come back, and they're going to talk a little bit about what Utah is doing right now as a potential solution to the lack of action on the part of the federal government. So what do you think about that, guys?
Uh-oh. They're not telling us anything. I think we still have them in the cone of silence. Hey, Bruce, are you in there somewhere?
I certainly am.
Hey, well, you know, in that cone of silence, why don't you fire up? What did you want to know from these guys?
I want to ask, just run some numbers, just California numbers, and see if these are legit numbers, they think. And one of them, well, we'll just start off and run through the list really quick here. 33% of all the prisoners in L.A. are illegal, and 40% of workers in L.A. work for cash. 95% of all the murder warrants are illegals in L.A.
How many? What was the murder?
95%. So I'm getting this off of the internet.
Okay.
2/3 of all the births are born to welfare people in L.A., and only 2% of the illegals in California are working on farms. 29% are on welfare, and for the cost of like $600 million, and $10.5 billion is the direct cost for California schools. And then they say it all pays off. They got $20 billion. That they send back to Mexico every year. So I just want to know if these are realistic numbers that we get back from what's going on just in California. Thank you.
Wow. Alex, Lorenzo?
Yeah, those are pretty accurate figures. One site I'd like to have the viewers go online with is Californians for Population Stabilization. It's called CAPS.com, and it pretty much covers the statistical side of illegal immigration in California, but those figures are pretty accurate, what he presented.
So the website is CAPS.com?
Yeah, Californians for Population Stabilization, and you can go online and you can join their organization, you can donate, and they're pretty much along the lines what we are trying to organize and coordinate you know, at the grassroots level of getting Tea Parties to work together, you know, from across the country and working with these organizations that have been working for so many years to try to bring immigration reform.
Wow. And, I'm still looking at $10.5 billion cost to California schools. I can't even imagine how you can make a case that that's a good thing
for this
state, based on everything that's going on here. All right, boys, you gotta talk, because if you're nodding, we can't see you.
Okay, the next question.
No nodding. This is radio.
Yeah, gotta keep talking.
All right, so what else did you guys want to tell us about?
You know, I wanted to talk a little bit.
All right, forget you. Elizabeth's on.
Well, last week we talked a little bit about the direct impact on small communities and neighborhoods in every aspect, from crime to a loss in property value to overcrowded schools. Can you kind of touch on that a little bit?
Just talking about the environmental impact. Overpopulation.
Oh, listen, that's a great question, and I've got to tell your listeners a story here real quick. Back in the 1960s, when I first went to college, I took a conservation class, and all the environmental groups came out and lectured us about the single biggest threat to the environment, which is overpopulation. And our population at the time was 200 million. And the Sierra Club and Zero Population Growth, and all those people came out and said, "You baby boomers are a huge generation. You know, you're 20 years old now or whatever. Try to have only 2 kids per family, because we must stabilize our population. And at 200 million, it's already too big. We're already harming the environment." Well, by and large, the baby boomer generation did that. Our average birth rate in this country was only a little over 2 per family. Now, all of that has been undone by outrageous immigration quotas and, of course, illegal immigration on top of that. Now, just a few years ago, the Sierra Club itself was going to have a vote on whether or not to take a public stand against the issue of illegal immigration because of the impact of additional population that's here illegally. And it was in the newspapers down in Los Angeles, so I called up the Sierra Club's headquarters and asked to talk to whoever would talk to me, and they put me through to Carl Pope himself, who was the executive director for many years. Maybe many of your listeners are familiar with that name. And I asked him about that. I said, Carl, you guys taught us about population and the environment. Why is it your group cannot come out and take a stand against at least illegal immigration? And he didn't really want to talk about it too much, but my degree was in journalism, so I kept pressing him. And finally he said, well, the left sees population control is kind of a right-wing thing. And I said, well, it isn't, or it shouldn't be, at least not illegal immigration. What is the problem? Again, he hesitated. I kept pushing him. And then he finally said, quote, the Sierra Club is afraid if we're seen cooperating with the right on anything, some of our bigger liberal donors will stop giving us money. And I said, holy smokes, Carl, you realize what you just admitted? You're selling out the environment for money, which is what you bash big business for doing. I said, but it's worse when you guys do it because your whole reason for existence is to protect the environment. And there was another long hesitation. And then he said, well, our voters, the members, will decide that in the election next week. And it came up just a little short, but something like 45 or 46% of the Sierra Club members themselves voted to take a public stand against illegal immigration because of its impact on the environment. Again, I go back to the idea that there is nothing good about illegal immigration. Nothing.
No, and when you look at, I think we've all gotten those pictures on the internet of these corridors that people are traveling through, and it's just, oh my gosh, it looks like a million yard sales, like strewn across the desert and in the sagebrush and stuff. It's a disaster.
Well, that's a big problem. It's a disaster, but of course that's the least of our problems as far as the environment goes. I mean, we're having water wars already. We're facing global
absolutely
urban sprawl, overcrowded schools, hospitals that are being shut down because illegals use them as primary care facilities.
Yeah.
It's pretty much endless. And by the way, there's something else I want to mention, and then Lorenzo is going to cover some real good information. You remember a man named Eugene McCarthy, United States Senator?
Oh, yeah.
I imagine a lot of your older listeners do. And he ran, I think, for president in 1968 against Bobby Kennedy. Now, he was very much against illegal immigration. McCarthy was a liberal's liberal and the darling of the left, but he was totally against illegal immigration. And back in the early 90s, about 92, he wrote a book called A Colony of the World, United States Today. Now, that was almost 20 years ago, and this was from a liberal. And Glenn Spencer's group, Voice of Citizens Together, had him as a guest speaker one day, and he addressed a crowd of several hundred people, saying why he thought out-of-control borders were a disaster for this country. And after the meeting, we went to dinner, and he made it very, very clear that the country was losing control and that it was going to really hurt this country, and he was totally against it. So if there are any liberals out there who think that if you're liberal, you're supposed to be for open borders because that's liberal orthodoxy, think again. Or in some cases, I would say, just start thinking for the first time.
Wow. And I wanted to point out too that the that website, the Californians for Population Stabilization, the actual address of it is capsweb.org, capsweb.org, and we'll put that up on our teapartymedia.net site, so all that info will be on there. All right, so Lorenzo, what fun facts do you have for us?
Okay, I was just looking through some stuff on here, and it says immigration and birth of to immigrants in California, current population growth, are estimated to be at 432,000 per year. And that's pretty much the size of almost like the cities of Long Beach and Fresno and Sacramento. And they're very similar in a lot of the larger metropolitan areas. And the forecast for growth between now and 2014 is going to average almost 1.9% annually, which is far more than two-thirds of California's total population growth.
And that's just for California?
That's for California.
Jeez. Wow. Are we kind of the tip of the spear on this thing?
We are, because of our geographical location, mm-hmm, to Mexico.
Okay.
Do you know what any of the stats are for some of the other bordering states, such as Texas, Florida? Are they dealing with the same numbers that we're dealing with?
I don't have that with me right now. One good site that I would refer people to is numbersusa.com.
Well, that's true. That is a great site. And they send out a lot of updates, which is kind of useful.
They do, and they break it down into all the different areas of healthcare, education, and it's broken down monthly to the most current numbers.
Oh, good information.
This just doesn't have an upside, does it?
No, it just continues. It goes on and on.
And we haven't even gotten into the part about, you know, the people that are coming here from the countries that that sponsor terrorism, and they figured out we left the door the south side screen door open. So we have people from all over the world actually coming across our southern border. This isn't just a Mexico-U.S. issue, correct?
No, they're from all over the world.
Yeah, and up to perhaps as many as 50% of illegal immigrants in this country are people who came legally and then simply never went home and have no intention of going home. Then you've got the issue of birth tourism, where there's no question that a lot of women show up just in time to give birth so that they can have that child that's an American citizen. So the abuses are endless, and we have let it go on for so long. The country is in a very, very deep hole. But I feel strongly that people all over the country are waking up to this. They're fed up. And what's even more important is that they're finding their voices. Now, there have been a lot of good organizations out there for a long time, and I've been in contact with the heads of many of these groups. But my squawk with them, and they don't like to hear this, that in my belief, though they've done good work, they have really just kind of kept us afloat, barely. They haven't gotten us out of the water. And that is only going to come when we demand that all the illegal immigrants in this country go home. And just saying, please don't amnesty, please don't do the DREAM Act, please, please, please. Well, okay, we haven't drowned yet, but we really are slowly still going under. So one of our goals is, I guess the main goal would be to use the Tea Party and anybody else to reach out, unite, and network, form a united front, along with these groups, like FAIR and Numbers USA and ALIPAC, American Border Patrol, Glenn Spencer's group, and all the others that are out there, to get together at a summit. I would really like to see a summit where they sit down, check their egos at the door, like Lionel Richie said at one time, and decide that the only way this battle is going to be won is to go to the next level and demand repatriation. And just resisting what's happening is not enough. We need to go on offense, and the Tea Party has already shown itself to be very good at that, and I think they can be a major player in saving this country. So
we're doing our best, Alex.
Pardon me?
We're doing our best.
Got a lot of good people out there want to help, and these kinds of issues are always just beyond everybody's grasp. Tell me this: let's say for some reason the federal government came to its senses and said, "Okay, I think this repatriation thing will work. This isn't about rounding people up. This isn't about, you know, turning our country into a police state. This is about setting a timeline." Let's say they made it a year. They said, "Anytime after a year, if you try to come back in the country and you were caught here illegally, then you'll never be allowed to come as a guest worker or as a legal immigrant." And that whole program got put into place. If we don't close our southern border, do you think it would still work?
Well, this is what will work. There are many things you can do to help, but the keystone of the entire arch is declaring that illegal immigration will no longer be tolerated and that you all have to leave. Now, what I would do is, having set that deadline, most people will leave. You know, in Arizona, just the threat of the law drove 100,000 illegal immigrants out of that state, and nothing happened. But they saw that it was going to get tough for them, so they left voluntarily. And I believe the majority of the millions in this country legally will do the same thing when they see that the door is going to close on them and the hammer is going to fall. So once that deadline has passed, you give them 6 months or a year to save money for the trip, to sell their property, to give the employers time to hire legal labor. You can back all that up with E-Verify, and you can immediately start sealing the border. All of that is great. But the key here is the demand and the deadline and the penalties. Now, once that deadline is passed, you do your sweeps. You start grabbing people then. You identify them. You put them in a special database, eye scan, DNA, fingerprints, the whole bit. You expel them, and they are already banished for the rest of their lives from returning to this country. If they come back a second time after they've been banished, then they do 3 years of jail time, 5 years for a second offense. The key here is for the country to make it clear to the world that there's a new sheriff in town, a new attitude, and this is the way it's going to be, and frankly, we don't care if you like it. It's our country. We get to make the decisions. You don't. So once they're kicked out, they don't come back for any reason. They don't visit. Now, if they have minor children that who are American citizens, if their children are small, I assume they'll take their children with them because they would want to keep their family together. But kids that are born here are American citizens, and they can certainly come back when they're ready. That's not a problem. We're not kicking out Americans. We're sending home illegal immigrants. And but all those who are citizens, they're citizens just like you and me, and that's pretty much that until the law is changed about children being born to illegal immigrant parents.
But, are we the only place that does that?
Pardon me?
Are we the only place that does that? Automatic citizenship or whatever, birthright citizenship, I guess it is?
Well, I would certainly change that. There's no question about that. See, what the country has to do is stop, take a deep breath, and take an honest look at the whole situation. There are no piecemeal solutions. You either want to have a sovereign country or you don't. And you can see your sovereignty being lost. And we could spend another show just in the details of that. But if you want your country to be sovereign, a good member of the international community, fine. But a sovereign nation, you say, we're going to solve all of this at once. We're going to do everything it takes to solve this once and for all. Because they lied to us in 1986 when they amnestied 3 million and said, from here on in, we'll keep them out. Obviously, that didn't happen. And, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Mm-hmm. So that can't happen again.
That's about the long and the short of it, huh? Mm-hmm. It's like the big thing is, oh no, we're going to do it this time and it's going to be the real thing. Like, I don't think we're falling for that again. But
no, I don't trust the politicians. I don't believe them. However, a lot of them do want to survive politically, and when they see the tide of public opinion solidify on this, when they see all of us organizations unite and demand the same thing. When they see the whole Tea Party get involved in this, a lot of them will discover their spines and come out and say, you know, right, we're going to end this, and we're going to vote for this, we'll pass the laws, we'll enforce them, and we'll resolve this. But obviously, it's going to come from us.
That makes sense,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah,
and,
it does.
And
that,
like,
heaven forbid.
Yeah, like, and like so many things, you know, the time has come for us to take a tough look at a lot of this. And when you just look at California, I'm just going to go back to the other number. $10.5 billion cost to California schools just to educate the children of illegal aliens. And you look at that and you go, huh. If you spread that out, I mean, if you look at just the... you know, we were talking about the crops and stuff. If you spread that $10.5 billion savings in the education arena and put that tiny bit, if you put that tiny bit back against the cost of our products, I mean, it couldn't possibly be that high.
No, no.
You know, look at the prison situation. Right now,
yeah, there's
we're in
that.
The court receivership.
So many things.
And we're having to send prisoners out of the state, and we're like 40,000 or 50,000 prisoners over capacity. Well, 20 to 25% of all our prisoners are illegal immigrants. That comes out to about 35,000 prisoners. If those people weren't in the country to begin with to commit their crimes, if they weren't in our jails, or if the federal government was required to take them all, we wouldn't have a prison overpopulation problem. And in every area you look at, our budget would be in a lot better shape.
Mm-hmm. No question about that.
It's amazing how it all kind of comes back to that. It makes perfect sense, and yet for some reason... we seem to be unwilling or unable to do that. It seems to me that this is the kind of a topic that we should be able to unite on regardless of party line. You would think that this would make sense,
mm-hmm.
that everybody would look at it and say, you know what, I think our sovereignty is worth it. And, you know, while I'm on that, your website, that is it up yet, or is it going to be up tomorrow?
It'll be up this week. That's what we're going to work on tomorrow and get it up online.
Outstanding, and it's going to be sovereign-tea.com.
Yes.
Yes.
And we've got Lydia online, too, that's got a question. Good morning, Lydia.
Hi. I just wanted to touch briefly. I've been enjoying the program, but I just wanted to touch briefly. He needs to mention that, you know, a lot of people are under the impression that people just came in droves in through Ellis Island. Well, they did in some respect. However, they had to prove that they were not a liability to America. They also had to have a sponsor. They had to have some money in their pocket.
That's absolutely
and,
right.
And, you know, if they had any health problems at all, they were segregated and they were deported back to wherever they came from. So it wasn't just, you know, come on in and we'll take care of you.
No.
My dad was one of the immigrants, and he had $24 in his pocket. And he had a sponsor. He went through legally. He took his citizenship papers, and he studied, and he assimilated into America. And this is what a lot of people are not aware of. They think, well, you know, we're immigrants. We can come in and do as we please. Well, it's not so. And I did make a lie. I'm sorry, Aaron. I called too late.
No, see, you still have 5 minutes left. We're good.
I wanted to have him touch on this for the listeners, because a lot of people do not, you know, are not under the impression that Ellis Island did have a lot of limitations.
That's true. It was the poor, you're poor, you're tired, you're huddled masses, but it didn't say, we'll just throw the door open and not pay attention, you know, kind of like that old game that kids played, red light, green light.
Exactly.
It wasn't green light.
Yeah, there was personal accountability attached to becoming a U.S.
Right,
citizen.
Absolutely. And he's done a wonderful job on today's program, and I've really enjoyed it immensely, and I'm looking forward to Monday night.
Great.
Awesome.
Thanks,
see you
Lydia.
Then, Lydia.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hey,
bye
and
now.
Alex, real quick, what do you think is going to happen with the DREAM Act?
I'm sorry, repeat that?
What do you think is going to happen?
What's going to happen with the DREAM Act?
What do you think will happen?
Well, we've got it on the defensive a little bit. A lot of groups have been working against it. And it's amazing how many big names out there are against illegal immigration. You know, it's not just Eugene McCarthy, and I don't think he's with us anymore. But the DREAM Act has been pushed back for a number of days. That's a very, very good sign. But people, you know, it's way, way overdue. What we want to do is inspire, motivate, organize, unite. We don't have all the answers, but what we want to do is to get people to say, well, I've waited long enough, I'm going to jump in on this. If I've never made a phone call before, I'm doing it now.
So Alex, if you could tell the listeners one concrete thing that they could do to help turn the tide on this issue, what would that be?
Well, I'd have to say two things: inform themselves and then take action, organize, unite.
Okay, and specifically, what action could they take?
Well, they should start phoning and writing emails.
Okay. That's a good thing to do.
So, senators, congressmen, federal or state or both?
Federal and state.
Okay.
Both.
Okay.
It's going to have to be the voice of a lot of people to really... And the other thing is, too, I try to look at the other side as well, and I think, well, let's see. If I was an elected person and I really felt like 90% of the country was going to, you know, barbecue me if I stepped out on this, it'd be nice to know that 90% was with me instead of against me.
Yeah.
But they
that
can't,
does make a difference.
Yeah, they can't read our minds. I guess we do have to actually speak up. That would be a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. When I talk to politicians or their aides and I make my arguments, they cannot respond. I think they're beginning to get the idea that the chickens are coming home to roost. This is allowed to get out of control. They've gone with the flow. It was the easiest thing to do. Or some of them have been bought and paid for by special interests. But they cannot answer the arguments against this. There is no justification for what's happening. There's no excuse for it. And I blame all of us, the American people, for letting us get to this point. Mm-hmm. But I'll say this. No matter how many people are for amnesty and open borders, the American people themselves still have more power in their little finger than everything else put together.
I don't think they realize that sometimes.
You're right. They forget. But, you know, thanks to the Tea Party, they've had a taste of victory.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing like being on a roll. So let's keep it going.
And just to clarify to anyone listening out there, the Tea Party is nothing more than a very well-mixed group of everyday folks that are stepping up and fighting for their country who have never, ever been political before. So it's certainly It's definitely a grassroots effort. No experience necessary. Feel free to apply.
Yeah, limited government, fiscal responsibility, and adherence to the Constitution. And I had a protracted discussion via email with someone who listens to the program, was really frustrated that we don't come out against the war. And, you know, where are we on that? And it's like, well, nobody wants a war.
No.
You know, bottom line is nobody wants a war.
I mean, who likes that?
To fix it is another thing. And I don't see the Tea Party necessarily fixing the war. I do see a lot of people stepping up on a lot of different issues that are paramount to them. But when you get down to the, you know, limited government, we have so much government overreach, and yet we can't control our borders or our immigration. That just seems nutty. Robert also wanted me to put a note in here on teapartymedia.net. He has listed a group of people to write to through the media web, you know, through that media website. So if you go to teapartymedia.net, he's got this program up. He'll have the archive up, all the websites that we've talked about. So for those of you that don't have a pen in your hand while you're listening. The other thing, too, is we're launching into a series here coming up next week. It's going to be about private property rights. So don't miss next week. Thank you, Lorenzo and Alex. We totally appreciate it.
And thank you again, Chandler, as usual, for being our great engineer.
And we will see everybody at the Tea Party tomorrow night, who lives here in the Redding area, 6 p.m. Double-check RedingTeaParty.com for all the groups in Northern California if you want to find one near you. You are listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Have a great weekend.